Hi, I'm Brittany Ashley, your host of Breaking Norms, Building Dreams, your guide through this transformative journey in both business and life. This is your place crafted for dreamers, doers, or anyone who has been told they can't. Get ready as we challenge those narratives together. You're tuning in live to the United Public Radio Network, airing on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. We are streaming on all the popular platforms every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me for a candid and thought-provoking conversation celebrating your unique journey because you are worth it. Hello, everyone. Hi. So happy to be here. I have Ruba with me and Nadine. So it's going to be an interactive show today. Welcome to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. I'm your host, Brittany Ashley, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network in 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. Get ready to escape the routine and join us for the next hour as we break norms and build dreams. As everyone knows, Nadine's back for our monthly showcase to come in on topics of parenting and momhood and all the fun things.
Woohoo!
Thank you, Nadine. Thanks for coming back in. Last time we chatted with Caroline on imposter syndrome. I think today we'll talk a little bit on imposter syndrome because I think it hits for a lot of moms. And so we can dive into that. And then we have Ruba, who is the founder and CEO of Push Mama Care, an online platform offering education, care, and support to expected and new mothers and their families, providing by high specialized team of healthcare professionals. As a registered dietitian with a specialty in pediatrics, Ruba has focused her career on improving the lives of mothers and children through evidence-based nutrition. She obtained both her bachelor's and master's degree at McGill University in Montreal and gained extensive experience in various settings such as pediatrician hospitals, medical clinics, and private practices. Thank you, Ruba, for coming in today. I'm so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
And as I mentioned, Nadine's back, and Nadine's an international coach for moms who want to help to get them back with their mojos back. I'm so excited to get Nadine back in here because we always have great conversations.
Hi again. I'm really excited and looking forward to what's going on today.
Yeah, I know Caroline wished, she said that she had so much fun having like our three-way kind of conversation because it brings in so many different topics, different areas of how we can think and go. And it just opens different questions for even the listeners as well. So I'm excited to have us all here today. Ruba, maybe you can dig a little bit into who you are and what is Push Mama. I know you gave me more information, but I've decided to start handing that more over to like the founder, CEOs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it perfectly. I'm a registered dietitian who specializes in pediatrics. So I've worked in different settings, pediatric hospitals, private practice clinics. And through my practice and through my work experience, I've kind of noticed a gap in perinatal care. And so that led me and drove me to create Push. Mm-hmm. So here we are today. So yeah, I can talk a little bit about Push. So Push is, so we're an online platform right now of healthcare professionals that offer one-on-one consultations, resources, educational materials for pregnant women, new moms, women who, or people who need support with their families or are looking to get pregnant. So, and their children and infants.
Amazing. And you're more or less based in Ontario. So do you service then only in the Ontario basis? Maybe you can just tell some of the listeners as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, because we're registered in Ontario, our healthcare professionals are. Mm-hmm. So we cater to Ontario mostly. Our lactation consultant, however, can see clients all over Canada. So that's so we can do that. But we also provide courses, online courses, downloadable materials also that you can access from anywhere.
Perfect. Maybe you can shed light on the materials that they can access.
Yeah, we have So we have our prenatal course, which is, it's called the PUSH Prenatal Program. And it covers everything from, you know, pregnancy, first trimester, second, third, to infant care, infant safety, and infant illness. So how to take care of your child. And this is recorded online. So you can access that through, I mean, anywhere. So that's one of our courses. We also have Introduction to Solids Guide, which our dietitian created on the team. And that's how to, you know, the blood weaning, how to introduce solids to your child. And you also have the lactation guide as well that you can download. So we have many resources and courses that anyone can access from anywhere. And if you want that one-on-one support, like I mentioned, lactation, you can see online from anywhere in Canada. So
amazing. And I find too, just lactation consultants, as I know within the Victoria area, Ruben and I were just discussing, Nadine, before you jumped in, that like just doctors and offices like that here in BC is so hard to come by. And I know lactation consultants are very hard to find. Right now, just even new moms to find midwives and doctors alone. And so just having that accessibility online is so great. I know I was, I had to use one, and even just that journey alone, I think I had to get a referral. Actually, the more I think about it, did I get a referral? I feel like I had to get a referral. And so do you need to get a referral to work?
No, you don't. So it is a private appointment. So no need for a referral. But if you are covered with your insurances for a lactation consultant, you can definitely claim those on your insurances. But definitely you don't need that. That's kind of the point of PUSH Mama Care, where it's accessible professionals that you can just access online for when you need it. And a lot of times it's a little bit urgent and you want care, you know, right away, and you're kind of nervous as a maybe first time mom or second time mom, and you just need that support right away. And that's kind of why I wanted to create this platform. It's really to provide healthcare professionals and to mend the gap where, in general, maybe you felt it, but healthcare professionals, and I'm guilty of this when I used to work in a clinical setting, we tend to be less proactive and more reactive. And so I wanted to create a space where healthcare professionals can also be empathetic, can be caring, can be proactive, can give you the time you need. That's kind of the point of PUSH, where you can have access to these professionals and their knowledge and their experience. And
Love that. It's needed 100%. By the way, should we say that you're almost expecting? So that's why I wanted to get you in here sooner than later. So I'm so excited for you, Ruba.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm in my third trimester. I'm 34 weeks pregnant. So, you know, it's coming and we're cutting it close. It's coming soon. So if I have mommy brain today,
I apologize. We can all relate to that.
And that still works for years after, by the way.
I hear.
100%. That's when you and I chatted, I think, about 2 months ago. And I was booking so in advance. I was like, okay, let me speak with Nadine, because we're all moms, seem to be moms. I just felt like it would be such a group dynamic and all of that. Before we switch topics, is there anything else that you maybe want to touch on, Ruba? About like maybe your end goals with PUSH Mama and how you kind of see it, the vision.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to be able to provide these services across North America for now, and hopefully maybe globally. But so yeah, that's kind of the vision. Like I said, right now our team is mostly based in Ontario and registered in Ontario. So that's, we're limited a little bit by province. But hopefully we can grow and we can reach more people and help more people.
Amazing. I'm so excited for you, because I know it will happen and it's needed. Nadine, maybe you can remind the listeners, if they have not listened to who you are and what you do.
Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to quickly also jump in on the Push Mama. And I think there's such a great service that's so needed, speaking from my own experience, but also like as a mom who needed services and access them. Like you said, you know, if you need a lactation consultant, you can't wait half a year. It's just not on. It's usually, you know, there's something that's urgent that you need to talk to, and it can be, you know, very, very impactful. And Brittany, to what you said earlier, you're already so concerned about what's going on, and then the added pressure of trying to find someone on short notice is can really even like make this whole situation worse, right? You're getting so more stressed, and obviously even on that has an impact on the lactation as well. So it's kind of really an impactful event at that stage of early parenthood most of the time. So having someone like, oh yeah, I know, I can go back to Push Mama once it, you know, we're there, is like, that's the platform, that's where I'm going to go to. And it's just even knowing of that you exist and that Push Mama exists for her can be such a relief. It's like, oh yeah, you know, it's like that brings a bit of calm. It's like, I know where to go if something comes up. And you know, you're available with those services.
And I'm kind of going through that right now where I have such limited time with my healthcare, like my doctor, that if I didn't have kind of my team and everything going on, I wouldn't know what's going on. And sometimes you do need access, like you just want to talk to someone and be like, okay, I'm experiencing A, B, and C. Is this normal? What can I do? And you have someone who's a healthcare professional who can reach out to your doctor as well and fax them, you know, follow-ups and stuff. And kind of follow you along on your journey. And sometimes you just need that extra little support.
It's vital as well. You have someone to ask questions to, you know, someone experienced. So that's really, really cool. Once the news like, oh, we're going to be on the same show, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I need to make sure I'll keep track of all the things that you're doing and be able to recommend moms that I'm coaching as well. And on that note, Brittany, I'm coming back to you and your question. So, hi, I'm Nadine Stiller. I'm also based in Canada, in Vancouver on the Pacific Coast. And I'm coaching moms who have ambitious goals, who want to get their mojo back, a bit more time for themselves, go after a passion project, finally start that podcast, or, you know, that write a book, or get back into a hobby that they hadn't pursued for a while, you know, if it's being running or whatever it is, a creative thing, going for that leadership position, even though everyone says, you know, oh, you're a mom of two, how do you, you know, how will you make that happen? You know, there's usually something in some in moms when I talk to them, it's like, oh, this is something that has been in my mind for a while. And when that spark is there, this is when I come in, it's like, tap into this and see how we can make it happen. Usually moms don't have a lot of time and energy and resources. So, you know, we're coming in and we're allocating that time, money and resources to the right things at the right time. So it's not about spaghettis on the walls. It's like getting you where you want to be and really tap into what makes you happy and lights up all the good things in your in your mind and body. And I'm doing that across the world with moms from all over and at all stages when they're in their motherhood. I actually just finished up a 6-month appointment or a 6-month engagement with someone who hired me while she was still pregnant and was like, I want to know how to wrap up at work without being too totally stressed out and burned out by the time I actually give birth. And then she was based out of the US, and then, you know, how do I get back, find my mojo, how do I align with, you know, being a first time mom and actually managing back to get into the work place as well. So that's all happening and it lights me up. I just get really, I'm doing my dream job basically. And I get to talk about it a lot too, which is fun.
I find too, like with my journey, that I would never have thought to be an entrepreneur, but being pregnant has switched my gears of realizing that, like, my non-negotiables is kids always, my kids first. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to do the drop-offs. I wanted to do the pickups. And so kind of where Career Dynamics was started was to help moms work from home. So it's like a flush of all these dynamic women that do administration, marketing, system setups, like all these things, but they can work from home and have that flexibility. Because leading into our discussion today, that a lot of places don't actually have that flexibility, even though they say they do. I've worked in the tech. I've worked in so many industries, tourism. I've worked in, oh my goodness, everything. I feel like I was a hippie. But the one thing that I saw, even when I was growing up, not knowing that I would have two little ones, is the flexibility. Maybe it's like in our dynamic of culture here in Canada, because you can see in different parts of the world that they have a little bit more flexibility. But here as moms, as we kind of navigate through, it's not really flexible as a lot of people say it is in those job postings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Calling it out. Which I was going to say to the question of, like, how can employers maybe make that comfortable transition? Like, I was scared to announce I was pregnant. So how can employers make that comfortable transition in a workplace to for moms? And I know we're not quote unquote experts in this kind of area of HR, but we have our own personal opinions that I thought we can all kind of share on. We'll start with Ruba.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is such a huge topic. I feel like there's so much stigma that surrounds pregnancy in the workplace, and a lot of women are afraid to announce they're pregnant, are afraid to share, you know, because of the culture of, you know, there's like that competition, or maybe they, you know, if I'm pregnant, they don't, you know, I'm out the door anyways, or, you know, so there's so much, I feel like, stigma surrounding pregnancy. Whereas, you know, and also it's not just announcing we're pregnant and going on maternity leave. I feel like pregnancy also comes with its fair share of symptoms that, you know, you don't feel your best all the time. You have low energy, or, you know, maybe you feel nauseous, or many, many symptoms. Actually, 89%, a stat I've read recently, 89% of pregnant women experience symptoms. Mm-hmm. So pregnancy related symptoms. And that can be either, you know, mild symptoms or maybe a little bit more serious symptoms. So mm-hmm. supporting women in the workplace, I feel like, is such a huge thing that we can do to, you know, increase loyalty to the company, you know. Just so many studies, I feel like, look at how supporting women in the workplace can increase productivity and mm-hmm. Just help even with the net profit of the company just by supporting these women. So
and I think Ruben and I, you and I discussed too, kind of like that conversation that I overheard. I can't remember if it was something I watched on like TikTok or which it was, but during COVID, this employer ended up losing all his staff. And he was like, what am I going to do? And he couldn't find anyone, but then he started hiring only moms to come work with him. And he said, to date, those are the best employees he has ever had. He makes sure that they feel like that it's flexible. He works with them, but they work so hard that he can't say enough good things about working moms that come in to establish his business. And it's grown 6 times the percent that he even thought it would, because he made this change. And the unfortunate thing is that sometimes we have that negative spectrum on working moms that we can't do it all. Oh, she has 2 kids. Oh, she has 3 kids. But I'm like proof right here as I'm building my business. I've also now a certified coach, doing all these things and still showing up for my kids and making sure I'm producing work for my clients that are quality work. It can be done.
I'd love to speak to the the topic about what you basically just mentioned, as well as like the expectations of, oh, now that she's a mom, her priorities are going to change, or she's no longer going to be into so and so. There's actually something connected to I don't necessarily want to call it a phenomenon, but I so it's a, but it's a studied thing called the motherhood penalty, which basically over years there's studies that have come out that show that mothers actually get disproportionately penalized simply for being a mom for every child that she has in the workplace, and that is one of the main contributors to the pay gap as well. So women get actually not the same amount of pay increases. They're not being offered jobs in the first place, not get the same priority, like projects, offers, or opportunities in the workplace. They might not get the promotion simply for going on maternity leave or being pregnant in the first place. Whereas the flip side to this is that for every time a man becomes a father, there's actually something called the fatherhood bonus. They actually get an additional increase in the salary because they need to provide, you know. And the motherhood penalty is actually also something that does not just impact mothers. It's also something that, and that's proven in studies over the years, it also impacts all women because of the perception that at some stage they might get pregnant, even if they never, ever want to get pregnant. So they're not being necessarily hired or given those higher opportunities or roles simply because they might get pregnant.
Yeah.
At a stage up. So there's so much about it, and it's, it drives me
bananas.
Crazy.
And that's the thing, is even with recent trends too, a lot of women actually don't even want to get pregnant because they're a lot more career driven. Or also you have to look at how the world is today and how expensive everything is. So a lot of people are repositioning not having kids. So having that kind of perception on women, it's disheartening, to be honest.
And I don't think it's just down to companies to kind of create that workplace wellness, right? Yes, that might be the fastest impact in some places where you can do it. I mean, you both have done it with your own companies, right? The way you're creating that wellness, hiring moms or looking out and supporting moms and offering that flexibility. And it might also be the case for larger corporations. And every time you look at, I know around the world, you have those reports of best companies to work for in Canada, you know, the best places in the US or in Ireland, wherever you're from. And frequently, the top companies that are being named actually point out that they have, that they're parent friendly, that they have flexible benefits and working times and special benefits specifically around motherhood or parenthood, be it, you know, additional support for IVF or for adopting children rather than just, in inverted commas, just birthing them yourself. Yeah. But there's lots of different ways you can attract and keep parents in the workplace as well, which is crucial. But it's not just companies that are responsible here, because there's plenty of people or companies out there who don't offer this, and it needs to be regulated. And this is where governments need to put in the right rules. If it's optional to give parental leave or paid leave or sick days, you know, it's an easy way out for a lot of places, a lot of companies. So it needs to be regulated to have access to childcare, access to, you know, all those pay days off and flexibility and da-di-da. And so there needs to be, there's different levels to workplace wellness. Some of it, you know, has to be regulated, I feel, and there needs to be a lot more done. And in other areas, it needs to be, you know, change can happen faster on a company level.
100%. And like you're mentioning, Nadine, just to like, you just made me think about like childcare, like the amount of times, as you know, Nadine, we lost childcare. So if I didn't have like this flexibility, losing childcare, or even knowing that I was leaving my child in an unsafe place, like I wouldn't be able to focus at work. I would show up, but my brain just wouldn't be there, or my whole soul wouldn't even be there, because I'd be constantly worried about my kids. So having that peace of mind as a mom or parent, knowing that your kids are safe, there's places that you can go, and having that extra flexibility really speaks wonders. And not even just say, let's just take away being a parent or anything like that. I know a lot of the new generation today, I don't even want to say, you know, Zen wise bees, whatever they are, they never can keep track. They just want flexibility. And like having like only like, yes, we're going to give you 2 weeks of vacation throughout the year, or you know what, you only get one day sick day. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. And there's so much. And like, I've lived in, or I don't know if you do know, I've mentioned it in previous episodes. I'm German. I lived in different European countries as well. Everyone has their quirks. Everyone is kind of grappling with things, but I've seen what the impact is when you do have extra sick days. For instance, in Germany, you get as a parent, you get sick days for your kids. So there's an allocation that says, okay, your kid is sick, then you as a parent get a certain amount of sick days too that has to be paid by your employer. So it's not your sick day, it's not your paid day off or holidays or vacation or anything. It's there because you're caring for your sick child at home. That can make such a difference, because you're not chipping away at that holiday that you really need on that time, paid time off, right? If you have access, it's not just also about access to childcare. It's access, meaning that there is a place in the first place, you know, that there is space available, but it's also that it's close to you where you are and it's affordable. What does it say if you're, you know, you have two kids in childcare and you're paying the same amount as a mortgage down payment, or you're paying more for childcare than you would actually earn? So it's like, that's where the regulations need to come in. And it works different in different countries, but you just then need to look like how many people, how many, you know, moms are actually still in the workforce, a couple of years after they've given birth, and how does that work out, right?
Yeah, because like here in Canada, at least we have like maternity leave, year to 18 months. Anyone listening from the States, but like I was just saying to Ruba, I'm like, I can't remember what they are given in the USA, but I know it's not very many weeks off. And I couldn't even imagine just handing my kid over a few weeks over to somebody to watch. Like, that gives me anxiety. I already have anxiety on a good day, and then anxiety of motherhood, anxiety of that. Like, I'm just like, my whole body's like off the kilter of anxiety. So
last year I chatted with a mom from the US who had to go back to her job 2 weeks after her cesarean.
That's
I mean, she was still recovering from major surgery, never mind everything else. Yes. But it was that or leaving. It was either going back and being able to pay the bills or being out on the street.
Right. And that's just crazy, because, and that is a very major surgery. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I know it took my friend at least 6 months to feel, I don't even want to say whole, but you know, at least decent enough to drive, where she always had her husband drive her around. So knowing that there was two, like, that's crazy, because you have like, there's complications if you slightly moved a different way, whichever kind of work that she might have can easily pull back.
And not to mention, you know, if you were planning on breastfeeding, like, you can't really, you know, do that. You have to pump, but is your workspace a safe environment for pumping even?
Yeah.
So it's tough.
not just even like, yeah, providing that space, but yeah, also the time, right? And the stigma around it as well is this, where do you leave the breast milk for the time being if you're at work? You know, and do you take your own refrigerator around with you? You know, is it, can you trust it if you leave it in the, you know, company mm-hmm. fridge in the coffee corner? You know, it's like there's so many things around that.
You know, a mom, she would just bring her, oh my goodness, a cooler in. Mm-hmm. So not only are you bringing in like all your stuff to pump with, you're bringing a cooler.
Yeah. Mm.
Just need to bring a suitcase at this point because you're bringing everything in to work for that 6-7-8 hour shift and then bring it back with you. It's a lot to be bringing in to work. I'm just looking at the time. Just for those just tuning in, you're listening to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. We're live on the United Poke Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. Last, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I forgot to say that. So made sure to say it today. on that note, how maybe we can kind of segue into like imposter syndrome as mothers. We have a new mama coming in, and then you and I, Nadine, as current moms. What kind of imposter syndrome kind of are coming up for you guys when you're thinking of motherhood? We'll start with you, Ruba.
Yeah, I mean, so the whole imposter syndrome was a new experience for me starting Push Mama Care. So I started Push, I started organizing Push and putting it together 4 years ago. I wasn't a mom. I wasn't a mom back then. And so that, you know, this whole feeling of who am I? I am a healthcare professional. I do work with, you know, with children and pregnant women, but it's just, I'm not a mom. So it's just that feeling creeps in of, am I going to be accepted? Am I going to be judged? Am I in the right space? Am I allowed to be doing this? You know, so it's something very interesting that I experienced early on. And it came to a point where, you know, I was organizing this and putting into place and hiring, but, you know, I wasn't super open about what I was doing because, again, there's that fear of like judgment or, you know, that comes with entrepreneurship, I feel like.
Yes.
So
100%. I feel like I've gone through all the emotions from like what you're saying to like trying to be my biggest fall one is like the expert. So there's five different imposters. There's the perfectionist. That's another one. I'm working perfectionist, expert, the silo that has to do everything themselves, the super mom. For the life of me, I can't remember the other one. Spur of the moment.
Was it the people pleaser?
No, it's it will come to me. Oh, mom okay. Break. But like, I'm like the expert and the perfectionist. And so like right now, like I'm seeing that come into play at like on the mom side too, right? So yes, as an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. as the mom side, like being like I went into my daughter's school and I've been asking her, I was like, do you need new indoor shoes? She's like, no. And go in to see her shoes. And we did like a walk around of the school because it's the last check-in point. I saw her shoes and I was like horrified. I'm like, oh my God, I don't care about my child. She has like shoes that look like they have holes in them. And like the perfectionist in me is like, okay, we have to go out and get you shoes right now because I can't get you showing up like this because it looks like I don't care as a mom, which another side of it, I've been constantly asking if she needs new shoes. So it's like the perfectionist or also the expert piece. Like both my kids are going through different kinds of assessment. One is on the list for autism assessing and the other we're keeping an eye on with ADHD and dyslexia is because it's hereditary, which we had a specialist in last week that it is all linked to be hereditary. And it's just something to keep in mind. But the thing is, like an expert too, of needing to know all these different scenarios before I speak on them, it's like ingrained in my head to be like that perfect mom. I don't know. That's how I, like, I kind of go down the rabbit hole of that.
And it's so relatable. It's like all of these things are so, so relatable. I can hear it also so often from moms I'm coaching. So specifically the super mom, when he's like, you need to be like everyone to like everything to everyone 24/7. It's like nonstop, just perform and be up. And it's like, be, and it's get, and it's, what's the word I want to say? Amplified, even, you know, by a lot of the things that we see on social media and online, and then the expert and the perfectionist are, I want to say, alongside the people pleaser, but we just said that's not part of the imposter syndrome, but those are the three or four things that consistently show up. And specifically also when it goes back to like the workplace wellness, and if you're not in a safe place at work where you can be yourself, you can't open up, or you're going back to work after caring for your children for a while, sorry, going back to paid work, because care work is also work, it's just not paid. But if you're going back to paid work, then it's this constant, oh, I need to be an expert in this, or I need to show up perfectly, or as the super mom, because otherwise, you know, what's all this year-long experience that I have in childcare? How is that going to help me get a job in, say, tech or in a leadership position or whatever it is that you want to do? Mm-hmm. And this, and that can be debilitating to a degree where you don't even try to get there, or you're not cutting yourself some slack, or giving yourself grace, or having that self-confidence to actually go for the things that you truly want as a mom. And so that's really holding you back from living essentially a fulfilled, happy life, because you're not maybe even going for it or trying it, even though it's something that you really want, because it has to be perfect. You have to be the expert. You have to show up a certain way. And then, you know, I mean, hearing your two stories, like, you go for it anyway and you make it work, and it takes some guts and perseverance and really sticking to it and not trying to listen too hard to those voices going on in your head, but it takes work, and it can be quite draining, and energy draining as well, right? It's like being in that space, because you can't allocate that to something that actually makes you happy or to the fun things.
Yeah, and
I don't mind talking about sleep. Yeah. When there's things going on at night.
I remember the fifth one. I was like, it's on the top of my head. I know it starts with an N. The natural genius. So that's just somebody who just thinks it should come naturally. Mm. And then you should be that intelligent to do something. And then if you're not feeling like that, then you're feeling you're not competent. So as a mom, like, that can come up for a lot of moms too.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Other one, I knew I had it in my brain somewhere.
So how I'm kind of curious, how did you both overcome this, or are you still battling it in your workplaces?
That's a very good question. How did I overcome this? I feel like for me, so again, this was related more to entrepreneurship, and it was the need to fulfill this kind of, you know, vision was stronger. So it was very uncomfortable doing it, you know, going through the process, but I feel like the vision was so much stronger that kind of drove me. And then did it ever go away? I mean, I'm lucky that I've hired a great team, and my team is so strong and just is I feel like is a, you know, are experts in what they're talking about. So I feel like I defer to them a lot. Mm-hmm. And is it still there sometimes? Yeah, it is still there.
Yeah, it's always a work in progress. But it just shows also, it's like, if you surround yourself with the right type of people, your mom village or your support network is there to rely on. And I also feel whenever something is a bit challenging in my life, like really going back to roots, is like, okay, what do I value? What do I actually want? Not just the things that I feel I should be doing, but what's it, something that I really want that resonates? And oftentimes it's, you know, if everything else falls away, no, this is still the right thing to do. So now I just need to know, how do I deal with all the other things coming up and potentially holding me up? Or, you know, how do you deal with obstacles and challenges or minimize risk? That's all something you can deal with as soon, but you need to make that decision. And as soon as long as you know it's something that you actually really want to do, and it fulfills that kind of, you know, gets you giddy and you have all your passion and stuff, then everything else is a matter of making it work and getting those people around you to support you. And it sounds like exactly like this rule. So it's like, I love it.
It's definitely finding your support network, not just within business, but within the collective around you at home. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned today, like my kiddo's home because the daycare's closed, but luckily my husband's helping. So that's why I picked this time slot specifically though on Mondays, is because this is his nap time. And so sometimes if I don't have that support system, what does that look like? And so it's just kind of like mapping things out, but imposter syndrome definitely still comes up 100% for me. As an imposter syndrome coach, like I'm still working on it. Like I say to clients of like, it's just the matter of quieting it in your, how can you quiet it in your head and switch that mind shift, and having like your own coach as well to help you navigate through it can help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just wonder if I can talk to one other thing around the workplace wellness and the support network, but in a corporate setting. Is it okay if I just quickly dive into this? Yeah. In a previous position, I was working as a leader in an international software company, but that company also had an internal business women's network, and I led one of their chapters. An employee engagement network basically. And especially over the last few years, during the pandemic, I've noticed a lot more of those networks being in the news, specifically because they focus on parents. So you have company internal networks that are employee run, ideally sponsored by someone high up in the organization as well. And they can advocate for the things that moms or parents need within the workplace. They could advocate for maybe policy changes for that lactation room or more flexibility or whatever you name it. And on top of that, you have a network of other moms who are, or parents who are supportive, who you build that mom village with, or who can just relate, you know, and maybe recommend a network like yours, Push Mama, or say, hey, I have this resource, or have you tried this? And that can just take so much stress away and really be supportive of that workplace wellness as well when it's there. So an employee engagement network can tick a lot of boxes. And if there is one at your workplace, I'd highly recommend joining it. And if you don't have one, maybe check out how to create your own. It's really, really beneficial also to your career, because you make connections with other departments, with other managers, other employees, and it has many, many benefits of having one of those networks or joining one of those networks at your workplace.
Mm-hmm. And I challenge any kind of employer who's listening of bringing in coaches, just to have that space for employees, parents, moms, dads, not excluding, to have that place of safe place to kind of talk out certain things, because it's kind of lonely being a parent. It's kind of, you're stuck in your head and you have all these things. You're trying to move up to the career ladder, or you're doing all these other things. So it's nice to have that one thing when you go into work, knowing that you can have that 30 minutes or 20 minutes, whichever, to go talk to somebody and then go back into work. I just feel mm-hmm. like that level of support of having like a coach in there would be so great.
Wouldn't it be like, if we're playing with this idea, I just started imagining what that would be like to even have a full on, say, mom or parent benefit package, and you'd have access to, you know, those parent coaches or career coaches. You'd have access to Push Mama, anything that you want. It's like you're, you know, it's like this package, and it's like it's part of the offering of the company. So you have easy access to maybe sleep consultants and, you know, nutritionists and who knows what. Everything is just right there on the, with a click of a button to take the stress out of it.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I feel like there's so many companies right now that exist within the group benefits that help with mental health, or help. There's even, you know, vets, like a network of 24/7 access to vets online. And I feel like having, a team of, like you said, sleep consultants or lactation consultants or dietitians or nutritionists that are just available for moms and are specialized in perinatal care, just because it's its own specialty also, and not, you know, it's its own thing. So I feel like that is definitely super important.
I find too, I'm going to speak with my own journey. Because when I finished university, I got into a job. I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do. But then after having my daughter, I'm like, no, I don't. What do I actually want to do? I would say my having my daughter helped me lead to a journey that I couldn't even imagine. And so I didn't have a coach. Yes, I am using Lindsay as a consultant, but I always joke that I say that they are a coach to me. but it's just having like aha moment of having that conversation, maybe even like with Nadine or whichever, having, knowing that you don't have to be stuck in a bubble, and having those open conversations, even within the work environment. Maybe you're just as admin person, and then you never had that dream of moving up. But then after having your kiddos, or you're then pregnant, you're like, you know what? I actually want to move up in the corporate ladder. So having like coaches within that are accessible to you within the workplace, I think could not only help benefit the employees, but the employers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's always easier to maintain or to retain someone than losing them, going through the entire hiring process, onboarding them to get them to a place where they are as productive as the previous person, you know, unless obviously the previous person was severely under underperforming, but it's usually quite a loss of money. Plus, if you hire someone, usually that comes with a bit of a pay increase as well. So it takes time to get that money back at some stage. So it's always easier to retain. Usually pays off much more.
Yes, 100%. I'm just looking at the time. Maybe Ruba, we can go through, because I saw your freebie. I'm just throwing it up here for everybody. You maybe want to talk about the freebie that you have?
Yes. So we recently developed a lactation guide. So our lactation consultant developed that. And so you can have access to the lactation guide by just emailing info@pushmamacare.com and having that until for the next month. And you can also book, if you're looking to book with our lactation consultant and you're in Canada, definitely you can go to the link right there and book your appointment with our amazing lactation consultant, Rhiannon. She's absolutely amazing. So yes, definitely.
Is this for new moms specifically, as with a particular age, or some? Would you recommend reading it up while you're still pregnant?
Yes. So very good question. So I definitely recommend downloading it if you're pregnant right now, just because there is preparing for, so things you can do just to prepare for lactation, and for breastfeeding. Things that could be helpful, like tools that could be helpful, but also self-expression. So, massages that you can do to help promote breastfeeding for later. So definitely recommend if you're pregnant, but for new moms or if you're, there's lots of information out there on there about, you know, techniques, holding positions. There's charts as well. If you, you know, if you want to keep track of feedings and there's a poop chart on there as well. So there's lots of information on there, which is pretty cool. So yeah, definitely recommend, you know, downloading it before delivery. But new moms as well, if you're struggling, definitely I would suggest looking into it. So if you have pain or mastitis, if you feel like you may have mastitis or some sort of pain while breastfeeding, which is that should not happen, it's a pretty good guide as well.
That's so good. Love that. It's so needed. As a new mom, you're experiencing like so much body changes. So sometimes you're like, I guess that's supposed to be normal. And you kind of go into this state of like just kind of pushing it through the back of your brain that it will pass. But sometimes it can lead to something else. So being aware of those is very important.
It's you're just speaking to something else, Rhonda, that I'm super passionate about. It's like this, you know, we've all been taught, it's like, yeah, parenthood is, you know, or motherhood specifically is very difficult. And, you know, you're kind of pushing through the pain, you're ignoring it because you've been told consistently it's difficult, it's supposed to be not easy. And, you know, you're kind of ignoring what your body needs, what your mind needs. And so definitely, it's like from my own experience, but also coaching lots of other moms, like, don't listen to those outside voices. It's like, if you have a question or you think something needs checking out, reach out to someone. It's the lactation part. It's any sort of other bodily changes. Yes, you're going to go through changes, but you need to get it checked out, even if it's just for your own peace of mind. Absolutely. If you think you're going through some symptoms and you're constantly sad or crying or you're very angry, it's all normal, but it's not supposed to be like this. You can get help, and help is out there. So yes, it's going to be difficult, but it doesn't have to be to the extent that you might think you're going through. So definitely reach out for help and get it clarified.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. And pain is one of them. So a lot of times people think that, you know, breastfeeding pain is kind of normal or it's part of the process, and it's not necessarily the case. So, you know, asking someone or looking into it is definitely recommended.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then Nadine, I know you have your Furby. I have it here. Wait, did it work? Let me see. Pressing all the buttons. Bear with me. There it is.
It's like sometimes, yeah, it's a five-step roadmap to basically get what you want more of. Because sometimes it's like, yeah, I want something else. It has to be more to, you know, this parenthood journey. I'm more than just a mom, or I have all these ideas about wanting to do something else, but you don't actually know where to start. How do I make it happen? It's like, it's just this big something, but what are the actual steps? What do I need to bring on my journey to actually make it happen? How do I set up a support network? Where do I, you know, how do I figure out where to start and what's the most important bit? How do I get a bit of confidence in me and all those different things? So that's why I created the roadmap. It's actually a pretty great workbook. So you can download it, write in it, maybe get your bestie alongside with you, put on some nice music, grab a drink, and then just journal through it and start making some plans on how to get what you really want. You know, if it's a bit more time for yourself, a new job, a new career. You know, the amount of people I talk with who say, you know, I didn't like my career 10 years ago and I'm still here. It's like, okay, if it worked out for the last couple of years for you because you could just cruise through it and it didn't cause you a lot of, you know, stress, you brought in the paycheck, fine. But now, you know, you want something more, something that, you know, brings a bit of spark and joy into your life. Go for it. You know, this is the roadmap to help get you there, get you started and into action.
amazing. I believe I downloaded it and I'm still working my way through it. Many great things in there. I was just going, looking at the time, so we're almost at time. Is there any last thoughts before we jump on off? I would just like to say to new moms out there that you're not alone. And if there's any employees looking out, listening today, just to maybe start asking curious questions within your work setting to find what you can do as an employer for your employees to make it feel a little bit more comfortable as a mom, parent, and so forth, because it's a lot of anxiety as it is. And so just to help kind of help that wellness piece and have that little bit more self assurance in some kind of fashion will help so many people in your work environment, I think.
And it definitely pays off. The bottom line of it is it pays off. As a company, if you're a CFO and you're looking into the financials, or you need to justify, you know, a certain decision or a new policy or a policy change, it definitely pays off. Just Google it. There's lots of information out there on how, you know, workplace wellness pays off for the employer. Never mind doing the human thing of supporting everyone in your workforce. Mm-hmm. And making it equitable.
There's a lot of data out there on just supporting women in the workplace and profitability of the company. So absolutely.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for tuning into the show. Thank you for everyone in the chat room. And a big thank you to the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Thank you to Nadine and Ruba for coming in. Nadine's coming back in May. I can't believe we're already in April. Like, Emily, what month are we in? Like, this year is just like a whirlwind. And Ruba, we're so excited for you. Well, you'll have to keep us keep in touch and tell us how it goes. I know so many positive new chapters are coming before you, so please keep us posted.
Will do.
For next week, we welcome Danielle to the show, and we're talking about the importance of using a counselor. It's not scary, and how you can use a counselor, and a little bit more. So please come in next week. So with that, until next week, remember your journey is unique and your worth is unquestionable. Thank you, everyone.
Woohoo. Bye.
Thank you.